on today's Run to the Top podcast.
You know, hills themselves are, they're not as demanding as we think. It's basically strength training can actually keep you healthier. It's the most specific kind of work you can do as a runner in terms of strength training. So it's safer than running hard on a flat surface. Just you're in a better biomechanical, efficient position in terms of your form.
Welcome to the Run to the Top podcast from Runners Connect, where it's all about learning from the best and most inspiring minds in the sport. Together, we can train a smarter, healthier, and faster running community. Now here's your host, Stephanie K. Atwood.
Welcome. This is Stephanie K. Atwood, Boston Marathon qualifier, coach, and host for the Run to the Top podcast. Hills. For many of us, this word wreaks havoc and fear in our minds because we don't know how to run them. Uphill, downhill, hills for interval training and speed work, trail running with hills, it's all part of the running experience. Yet how many of us actually know how to use hills effectively and to our optimal benefit to improve our running? We're in luck today because we have Runners Connect coach and top competitor Dylan Bellis to fill in the details and clarify best techniques for runners of all abilities. If you can run hills well, you will be a much better runner. Find out how in just a moment after a short break to thank our Run to the Top sponsors. Getting ready for your summer and fall training? Join one of our free race-specific training classes where you'll learn how to target the right workouts in your training and get your questions answered so you can reach your potential and crush your PRs. Just head to runnersconnect.net/GO. That's runnersconnect.net/GO. Welcome back to the Run to the Top podcast and our special guest coach, Dylan from Runners Connect. Dylan is here today to discuss hills and how all of us can benefit from understanding how to run them better and how to utilize the power that comes from effective hill running for racing and training. Welcome, Coach Dylan.
Thank you so much for having me, Stephanie.
It's great to have you here. Hills are definitely a topic that almost all of us struggle with, or maybe have gotten to a point where we realize how valuable they are to our training. So I'm going to read just a little bit of a bio of you, of an introduction about you, and then we will get into our full-on discussion. So thanks for being here, Coach. Coach Dylan has received rave reviews from Runners Connect clients who have been coached by him. Let me share a bit more about his outstanding credentials in the field of running. Dylan Bellis is a coach at Runners Connect and also a Brooks professional athlete living and training in Flagstaff, Arizona. He has most recently qualified for the Olympic Trials Marathon, running a 2:18:11 at the 2018 California International Marathon, and now has set his sights to running this year's Berlin Marathon with a goal time of 2:15. Ooh, good luck to you. Prior to his successes in the marathon, Dylan attended the University of North Carolina at Greensboro, where he studied kinesiology and later served his alma mater as a volunteer assistant coach at the collegiate level. Since leaving North Carolina, Dylan has played roles in many running organizations focused on leading runners at the youth, community, and professional levels. You have quite an impressive running career. But before we get into that, we're going to go through the first four. So please share with us your age, where you were born, where you currently are living, and what is your favorite race distance?
Absolutely. I am 26 years of age. I am originally from Ithaca, New York. I was born in New York. Parents were in the military, so I grew up most of my life in right outside of Charlotte, North Carolina, a small town called Denver. And I currently live in Flagstaff, Arizona, and my favorite distance of choice at the moment right now is the marathon, although I will give argument for some shorter distances such as the 15K. I really like the 15K distance, but focus is primarily on the marathon, and I've enjoyed every race I've done so far.
Well, indeed, you must be focusing on marathon if you're trying for Berlin. You're already signed up and everything. You just need to try and do the best time you can when you get there?
Absolutely. Yep. So right now we're just focusing on building up towards the race. Still got a lot of time to do. And just got to get the flight information fixed. And other than that, I'm all set for race day.
Yeah, that's good. And that race is in September, right? At the end of September?
Yep, that's correct. September 29th.
Well, fingers crossed. You got the time to train here, but you know, there's always just a little bit of unknown until it actually happens, right?
Absolutely.
So tell us in your own words how you got to this point in your running career, both as a runner and also as a coach.
So most of my life, I actually wasn't much of a runner. I played a lot of different sports growing up, a lot of variation. My parents were big baseball players. I played tennis, swam, wrestled, all sorts of things. And I really didn't get into running until I was around 17 or 18 years old. And I really, really took kindly to it and loved it. I've always been much of a person who is very focused on self-improvement and self-performance. And whether it was, doesn't matter what sport it was, I was always focused on trying to be my best and trying to figure out the way in which I could be the best. And over time, I've had a lot of really great mentors and coaches who have helped me become a better athlete. And that's inspired me to help other athletes as well. So I ended up running pretty decently in college. I didn't really get any sort of scholarship offers or anything like that, but I was able to walk on to a small Division I school in North Carolina. And from there, I basically just focused on trying to continue getting better. And I knew very little about running going into college. So it was a big learning experience to learn from my many coaches and peers, mentors along the way. And I developed pretty naturally from that point on. And as I got older and I completed my degree, I continued to want to be in the profession of running and coaching and helping other athletes as I have been helped myself. So after graduating school, I contacted a bunch of different running areas and groups, and I was able to intern at a professional level at a place called Team Run Flagstaff in Flagstaff, Arizona. And from there, I was able to meet a lot of really great people, and I was introduced to people of all different sorts of camps and distances and races that people do and specialties of the sport. And there I met a prior Runners Connect coach, and she introduced me to the Runners Connect team. And from there, I've been working with Runners Connect now for the last 2 years.
Oh, good for you. Now, the Flagstaff part of it, obviously Flagstaff has some amazing runners. Is Brooks in Flagstaff as well, or are you kind of an outlier of the Brooks team?
Right. So there are a bunch of different groups in town. There's Northern Arizona Elite, and there's all sorts of different people who are of, you know, different teams and different, they represent different shoes or whatever it is that they're running for. So after I ran the California National Marathon, I got reached out to by one of the Brooks representatives, and they basically offered me a really lower deal to be able to run for them and represent the brand. And so there's a few of us in town who also run for Brooks, and mm-hmm. and we go into races and we compete together, but mm-hmm. not formally a team, or there's a few of us in town.
Yeah. Well, Brooks has been around forever. I know they've supported some great athletes, and I know they have good equipment. In fact, I'm actually going to ask you about giving me some contact information, because maybe I can contact Brooks and do an interview with them about their running shoes and the other equipment that they have. I think that might be of interest to our listeners.
Yeah, I think so too. Brooks themselves are a running only brand. So, you know, they're very focused on the runner themselves. So there's not a whole lot of other excess there, and they're really focused on providing the best product. And I've always been a really big fan of Brooks myself. So it's been an honor to be able to represent them in races and competitions going forward.
Yeah. Well, good luck to you with this marathon coming up. Now, our January 2nd New Year's podcast episode of 2018 highlighted several runners from Runners Connect and from around the world who raved about you as their coach. So what are some high points of your coaching and the successes that you've had?
Yeah. So as a coach, I think the most important thing is to be able to help the individual, of course. And so I don't necessarily like to take a lot of credit myself as a coach, because sure, I'm here and I'm helping people try to be their best. But when it comes down to it, it's themselves out there doing the work every day. And especially when we work over an online medium, I'm not able to actually see them run every single day and to provide mm-hmm. as much insight and tips to help them improve every single day. And a lot of people are juggling a lot of different things in their lives, you know, much busier than maybe I am. There's people who have families and jobs, and, you know, there's people who are working out at 3, 4 a.m. in the morning, and I have athletes who are running at 11 or 12 p.m. at night. So it's the dedication and it's really investing yourself in the training. And as a coach, that's all I can really ask for is I have to be able to gain the trust of my athletes, because if you don't trust me and you don't believe in what you're doing and you don't believe in me as a coach, then you won't reach your fullest potential. So as a coach, it's really my job to be as good of a communicator as possible and to be able to help them see where they can improve and help them see the things that maybe need to be adjusted, whether it's perspective or whether it's actually the meat of the workouts themselves, to continue improving. And a lot of my athletes over time, you know, it takes a long time to develop as a runner. It's, you know, we're not going to see a lot of results in months 1, 2, and 3, but if we stick with it, a lot of times we can really develop as athletes. Mm-hmm. So my successes of a coach is meeting and seeing those athletes who have invested a significant part of their time, their energy, and really just put everything into their passion and into this developmental sport itself. I mean, running essentially changes you. And it's me seeing and helping these athletes stay on that right path that really helped me see the successes and really make me feel good as a coach. And I don't necessarily put this on myself for, you know, it's not me doing it. I'm helping and I'm guiding, but they're out there every day putting in the work, staying motivated, and I'm just here helping them and guiding them to that. So that's my highest point as a coach.
And that's an interesting point, because if you can actually get a lot back from knowing that you're getting the most out of the athletes you're working with, then of course they deserve the credit, but it must make you feel very good to be able to help them achieve those kind of things.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I know in my life how my mentors and my coaches have helped inspire and keep me on track. So it really, and I'm still an athlete. I still have a coach myself. So I know what it is that we need and what we want from the people who keep us accountable and keep us on the right track. So, you know, it very much is, it does make me feel good, and it allows me to help reach a little bit deeper into the athlete. And, you know, I'm still learning. I am still trying to discover ways in which I can help my athletes or the athletes within Runners Connect be better. So, you know, it's, things don't stay stagnant. They're very much dynamic over time, and I'm learning as much as they are.
Right, which is an interesting point about running in general. I think it's one of the things that keeps it so fascinating is we as individuals change and the whole sport of running changes. So it's by no means a static thing. A quick question before we go on to Hills, because that is the focus of this interview. But are you meeting any of your Runners Connect students in Berlin?
You know, I think we are. I think we're going to have some sort of meetup during the race, because we do have a significant, you know, a pretty significant amount of people who are running the race. And this will be something that we develop a little bit closer to race day. We haven't exactly set up an exact meetup time, but ideally we're going to have a talk or, you know, a meetup and maybe do a shakeout run a couple days before the race or the race. Yeah. Or even after the race. We haven't exactly created the meetup yet.
Yeah, but I'm sure it'll happen. And if people want it to happen, then of course it will happen. So on to Hills. Why do you think Hills are such a challenge to a lot of runners?
Yes. Yeah, this is a great question. as a young runner myself, I would, you know, I would always avoid them. And I think that is, I think that's probably the key thing here is that Hills are pretty easily avoided. A lot of us, you know, some of us may live in hillier areas, but we can still get around those hills.
Right.
So it's much easier for us to kind of take it a little bit easier on ourselves and avoid them and not include them within our runs. So I think that's one of the reasons. You know, other ones is that, you know, hills are tough. You know, they're hard to run up, and a lot of us don't have maybe the direction of how to run them or how to run them effectively. And, you know, people who don't have the background of, you know, a a more developed sense of coordination or playing other sports over time, hills just feel awkward. They don't feel natural. You might feel very labored and your form goes all over the place, and it's just really tough to do. And then the last thing I really think is that hills are often associated with all-out efforts. So a lot of people think that if we have to run a hill, then it means that we're going to have to dig so deep into that psychological well of pushing ourselves as hard as possible. Because again, growing up, a lot of people, whether if they played a lot of sports, they would use hills as, you know, whether it was maybe punishment for not doing something correctly in a sport, or as a way of getting an exercise in, or say you are attending a gym and, you know, they have exercises that you can do outside. A lot of times people have them do hills or hill repeats, and they make them so hard that it makes people think that, you know, the only way that you can run a hill is by maximizing your effort, running it all out. And I think that this really just deters people from wanting to do it, because we've got these negative mindsets or connotations that associate with it.
So how do you approach the beginner runner and talk with them, talk them through dealing with hills, using hills, training on hills, confronting hills in a very basic kind of way?
Yeah. I think we first have to take in consideration the level at which one is at regarding training. So everybody's coming from different backgrounds. So it's important to understand, hey, what do you have access to? First of all, where are you at in regards to training? Are you a first time runner, or have you been running for a little bit but haven't done any structured workouts? You know, these are all things that are completely new to training. It can be hill workouts, or specific workouts can be entirely foreign to a lot of people. So it's important that we have to lay out the groundwork for these athletes so that we can explain to them, you know, what they're doing, why they're doing it, and how they can do it. So the way that we would want to approach it for beginning runners is, again, we take into consideration a lot of different things when it comes to where they're at into training. And from there, we have to decide, hey, what's the best way that we can start implementing things like hills or specific workouts? And I think hills are one of the first things in terms of workouts, you know, pushing yourself, that we should add to a program. Because the reason why we want to do this is because, you know, hills themselves are, they're not as demanding as we think. It takes, you know, it's basically strength training and actually keep you healthier. It's the most specific kind of work you can do as a runner in terms of strength training. So it's safer than running hard on a flat surface. Just you're in a better biomechanical, efficient position in terms of your form. So, you know, for a runner, I think we would start very short, very small, you know, maybe just doing little short hill sprints with full recovery between. And these can range from anywhere from 6 to 10 seconds. And then from there, you know, we would kind of take that up a notch and again, start adding to it as you build this foundation of running and start adding to it. You know, there's a lot of different ways in which we can develop a program and to help progress certain aspects of that training.
If I am that beginner runner and I'm trying to confront a hill, what are you going to tell me about my stride, my foot position, my arms, my breathing? How does all that come together?
Right. So I'm going to first suggest that for a beginning runner, that let's say we're going to start with a 30-second hill, and that's the duration which we're going to go.
Okay.
And for this effort, I want it to be around 5K to 10K effort. So let's use a out of 10 scale. Let's say 8 out of 10. That's the effort we want. We don't want to be maxed out. We want to be working hard, but we definitely don't want to lose too much in terms of our form.
Okay.
So in relation to our form, what we're going to want to do here is, you know, running up a hill, you're naturally going to have a little bit more of a forward lean, but we don't want to lean too far into the hill. We want to make sure that we're still getting good knee drive, good hip extension, and then really driving well with the arms, but more focus. You really want to be focused on engaging the glutes, engaging your hamstrings, really working hard to make sure that you're using the right muscles. You don't want to use too much of your arms or lose too much or have too much sway in your upper body. This is going to take away from the economy of the run itself. And in relation to our feet, we want to imagine being on the hill and kind of feeling like a bouncy ball, right? We don't want to absorb into the hill, but we really want to react off of it. So if we can take that hill and really be on our 4 feet, think of quick, lighter footsteps and really focusing on driving through the hips, driving with your knees, and getting everything involved in that posterior chain and the backside of your body, and try not to lose too much in relation to forward movement, or again, using too much over your arms, and really making this effort so that you can have a hard effort for 30 seconds. And then I would recommend that you either walk or jog it back down. And then we repeat a certain amount of times.
Okay, a couple questions. Now you're talking about being on your 4 feet. It makes sense when you think about running up a hill that if you're landing on your heel, you're almost going to be falling backward. So it does, since so many of us are heel strikers, it is actually going to change the place where the effort comes from, I would think, in that, you know, we really don't want to be coming down on our heels. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that is correct. And naturally, when you're running up a hill or you're running faster, you're going to be a little bit more on your mid to 4 foot. That's only natural. And as you speed up, you do tend to, you know, if you were to go out for an all-out sprint, most people would be on their 4 feet. Yep. And, you know, same thing with a hill, you're going to have the incline there to kind of help guide you. So it's almost, you know, I'm not going to say impossible, but it's very hard to do to run up a gradual hill and be on your heel. So yeah, you're going to be more on your 4 foot. That's going to put you a little bit in better position biomechanically. It almost prevents you from overstriding, reaching too far with that foot. And it really puts you in a good position, you know, with your foot landing underneath your hips.
Next question, and that you just alluded to it with the stride. So you're going to have to shorten your stride, aren't you? Especially a beginning runner, you're going to have to shorten your stride in order to be able to land on that 4 foot.
Absolutely.
And so, of course, then the effort to have a shorter stride is going to be a little bit less and maybe compensating for the fact that you're pushing off of the midfoot or the forefoot rather than using that heel, which, as I said earlier, so many of us tend to, that's the way we run.
Right, right. Yeah, I think so too. And it really helps you focus on getting your turnover, you know, getting your cadence up, the amount of times that your foot strikes the ground. Mm-hmm. And this can be really relative to when you translate to flat running too. We want to make sure that our cadence and our turnover is going at a pretty good clip so that you're going to be as most efficient as possible. And it really teaches you good habits in relation to your form and how you should be when you're running particularly hard or fast.
So I like the 30-second part. I think that's good to run for 30 seconds, try these different things out, but then take a little break and then maybe repeat it a few times, or even just run for 30 seconds on a hill and then walk the rest of the hill and then, you know, try it again if you're actually running a whole training route. Right. I think that sounds like a really good idea for beginning runners. Now, how about more advanced runners, though, using hills in their training? We're not going to talk yet about interval and speed work on hills, but just how a more advanced runner would approach a hill and train well on that hill.
Right. Yeah. And I'll take one more step, you know, one more step back and say that when we're talking with beginning runners, novice runners running uphill, you know, before we kind of start talking about more of the specific workouts, you know, one of the easiest things we can do is just to include them within our daily runs. I think that this is universal from, you know, a beginning runner to a advanced runner. It's really about just getting out there and including them in your runs and not avoiding them, you know, kind of what we spoke on before. I think it's one of the easiest things to do. And I like to include them within the long run more specifically because it really makes you focus on engaging and using your muscles a little bit more than what you would if you were just to run flat all the time. And for those of us who are increasing our mileage and running, you know, running a lot more volume, adding that into the long run can really help you focus on keeping good engagement of those muscles. Uh-huh. And also it allows you to just add a healthy variation of training because, you know, movement variability. So the variability in whether it's the shoes or the surface or how fast or how slow you run is very important for keeping you healthy. But running itself is a very repetitive sport. So inherently, you're going to be exposed to overuse injuries and that sort of thing. But if we can keep a high amount of variability, whether it's in stride, shoes, in this case, hills, elevation change, I think this is all important for making sure that your body and your muscles are getting a varied stimulus, a varied response to the work that you're doing.
Good point.
Yeah, one of the easiest ways we can do that is just adding it into our easy runs and our long runs. And, you know, towards the beginning of a program, I like to include the hilly long run. The hilly long run can really help set the stage for, you know, it's basically doing strength training on the day that you're most tired, the day that you're having to use your muscles for the longest amount of time. But yeah, so kind of moving forward, so hill training for more advanced runners. And again, we won't, we'll kind of save the more the speed stuff in a little bit, but for more advanced runners, it's the same, it's pretty much the same thing. You know, we want to include it if within our daily runs. We need to, you know, more advanced runners will, you know, have naturally had more of a history with doing hills.
Right.
Again, you know, habits kind of build up over time and even advanced runners avoid them. I know many professional athletes who live in my area who avoid hills and, you know, even on their workouts or their easy days. And while there's definitely a role for this in recovery and whatnot, we definitely need to continue to include them within our runs and find ways in which we can make progressions in our training, even if things have tended to flatten out. More advanced runners, it's harder for us to be better. If we especially been doing it for a long time, you know, you're no longer PRing by 5, 10, 15 minutes. I mean, you might be talking seconds in some cases. So, you know, it's all about looking at the body of work that you've done and seeing the areas in which you can improve. And I think, you know, hills are a great way to, a great addition for advanced runners. And, you know, including more specificity on those hills can definitely be something that can promote a stronger amount of exercise and physical training performance adaptation.
I didn't even mention this before, but of course, if you're running uphills, then there probably are going to be some downhills in that training run as well. So talk a bit about running downhill.
Yes, yes. So downhill running is a big topic. Is a big topic because many athletes are running these Boston qualifier races that are screaming downhill.
Right.
And I mean, we're talking 2,000 feet of elevation drop between start to finish, sometimes even more. Ooh. And what a lot of us don't understand is that this doesn't always mean that you're going to be able to run faster because running downhill is incredibly demanding. Whereas uphill running, you know, it's obviously it's demanding in the sense that it's hard, but on your body, it's not taking as much stress. Running downhill can be actually pretty detrimental to your body. It can really tear you up. I mean, you're adding, you know, 2-3 times your body weight, if not more, every time you're running downhill. Mm-hmm. And, you know, every time that's happening, you're slamming your body down. You're really using your quads and your glutes. And for those of us who are running those big downhill races or big downhill runs, what happens is that those muscles, they fatigue really, really quickly. And while you might feel good and you're trying to bank time, I think many who have run Boston many times over can probably attest to that downhill that kind of leads into the first half marathon. It's very easy to run that too fast. And then what happens, there's a reason why those hills, Heartbreak Hill is such a big figure in our sport, is because we waste so much energy running downhill that we've got no legs left to be able to take on those hills. So running downhill is something that we have to focus on as well, especially if our race has a long downhill portion or has some rolling hills. So we have to be able to have a strong body and to be able to take on those hills. So adding small doses of this in training is important. Mm. But again, with running downhill, more so than running uphill, again, you're in a better biomechanical position, you're more economical, efficient, but running downhill, it's the complete opposite. You can overstride, you're reaching out with your legs. You're putting an excessive amount of stress and demand on those stability muscles. And then the larger muscles too, the quads and the glutes, those are big muscles that take a lot of pounding. So, you know, adding small doses of this in training and really focusing on, you know, not overstriding, having shorter footfalls, making sure that, you know, there is some variation in that stride and you're not just letting everything go, that can really help you tackle those downhill runs in your races.
How are you landing when you're going down a hill? And I'm guessing that this is somewhat related to the angle of the hill, but can you talk about running down a hill and maybe give us some degrees of of angle? And then what would be best case scenario for actually running that?
Right. Yeah. So running downhill, you're going to have a little bit more variation in your foot strike. So I think you can be on your forefoot, but most likely, you know, especially if it's going to be a pretty good downhill, you're most likely going to be landing closer to your heel, and that's fine. We just want to make sure that we're not overstriding. So we want to make sure that we're not reaching out too far. And another big one is to make sure that we're not leaning back, because a lot runners when running downhill will really arch their back, and that arch that you get in your lower back can really put some and add some strain to not just your back, but also your lower legs too. You know, everything is connected. So, you know, if something is going off, you know, on your foot and ankle, then that can definitely add up the chain. Same thing with, you know, if your arms are crossing over the midline and your back is arching, well, likely your hips and your knees and your ankles and your feet are also following that as well. So when we're running downhill, we want to make sure that, again, we have that nice slight forward lean. We're kind of going with the hill rather than against the hill. We don't want to let things go. You know, we still want to focus on having good form, relaxing, making sure that, you know, our arms aren't crossing that midline, and simply just ensuring that you're not running with bad form. And I think we can all understand what bad form looks and feels like. And, you know, we've all been in those races where it's those last few miles and we just let it all go. And you're just like, I'm just going to, you know, run as hard as I can. And, you know, whatever this looks like, it looks like. And sometimes that's unavoidable, especially when you're really pushing hard. But, you know, if it's early on in a race or you're running a hill and training, really focus on shorter footfalls, riding with the hill. You know, it's okay if you land on your heel, but making sure that you're not landing too far out in front of yourself and putting a greater amount of force and stress on areas where we don't want.
Okay, shorter footfalls, you're also not leaning back so to get that curve in your back. Now, what about your arms? Are your arms going to normally be a little bit lower than when you're running on the flats or if you're headed uphill?
Potentially. I think that if you're running really hard downhill, you're probably going to end up carrying your arms a little bit higher. I think we tend to get more tense as we're running harder anyways. And again, if you're arching that back, a lot of times your arms will also come up with that arch in your back. So just trying to relax at the shoulders and ensuring that, you know, your arms aren't crossing the midline of your body. Because when we overstride, a lot of times that foot will reach out and turn in, which will also turn our shoulder, our arm, our torso, our hips in as well. And that just puts and distributes a very uneven amount of stress on the body. So yes, again, we want to focus on keeping a neutral back, slightly lean forward, relaxing the arms at the shoulders. You know, we don't want to be too low, too high, but naturally, you know, right above your hips is more of a natural area for the arm swing. And yeah, shorter footfalls, making sure that we're not overstriding, and focusing on having good form. The most, you know, the harder we run, the least efficient we get. And, you know, in terms of efficiency, that's energy cost, energy loss. So we really want to focus on conserving as much energy as possible, but also allowing that hill to be run as naturally as possible. Go ahead.
On pace, and this is maybe adding to what you're saying already, but your pace is going to change if you're running down a hill, right?
Yes. Naturally, it will change a bit. Just as running uphill will add seconds, running downhill will tend to, you know, you'll tend to run a little bit faster. But again, I would advise those of us who are running hills in races that we don't deviate from race plan. It's really easy for us to think that we can make up a lot of time on downhills, especially if it's early in the race. But as we know, a marathon is not made in the first 6 miles. It's made in the last 6 miles. And if you don't have the legs and you don't have this muscular strength and endurance to tackle those last 6 miles, those that last 10K can be some of the hardest running that you've ever done.
Now, what if you get to that last 10K and there are, in fact, hills, both up and down, then can you use that downhill strategically?
Definitely. Definitely. You know, with the marathon itself, it's an endurance event. You know, we have to be able to manage and conserve energy as best as possible. You know, once we get past that 20-mile mark and there are rolling hills in the last little bit, we can definitely use those downhills to kind of push ourselves. But it's really early on in the race where we don't want to take those downhills too much. We don't want to try to bank time or really try to make up too much time there. But again, yeah, if we're fighting hills in 20, 22, 24, then yeah, I would absolutely like to see, you know, us work those hills. But again, you know, it's late in the race. You might be 2, 3, 4, 5 hours into that race.
Right.
And your efficiency numbers have dropped. So really focusing on having good form can help stave off injury, can keep you running faster, and it can ultimately allow you to feel a lot better after the race, and recovery will come better too.
A couple of other points that I want to go through with you before we finish the interview, not that we're out of time yet, but interval and speed work on hills seems to be a really hot topic these days. Rather than doing everything on a track, to use hills to improve our speed and our strength. So can you talk about that a bit?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, there are many ways to cut it. You know, hills are incredibly versatile and something that we can use in every single stage of training. You know, whether it's our foundational stage or the specific phase of training, hills can be of very good use. Now, you know, I will say that hills are great for, yes, building strength, building endurance, helping you increase power numbers. But again, you know, it's just one part of the equation. You know, ultimately, running is a very aerobic activity. And so the more that we can run and do naturally and efficiently at an aerobic pace, so easy running, and the bigger that capacity is, the stronger that we're going to be over hills. So a lot of us will tackle hills and we'll sit and we'll think to ourselves, wow, that was really hard. I need to do more hills. And while this may be true, it's not the entire solution to the equation. So I like to tell people this when I have athletes who tell me that their hills aren't, you know, that, oh, I need to do hill work, or, you know, I lay out a plan and they ask, you know, where's all the hills? Why aren't I doing more hill work? And I think that the stronger that we are aerobically, the stronger we are over hills. So, you know, while hill work can be specific to running well over hills, that's not the entire, that doesn't solve the entire equation. But again, hills, again, incredibly versatile, something we can use in every stage of training. So, you know, whether there's different ways in which we can do it, whether or not we can decide if we want to make it a highly neuromuscular, you know, mind to muscle sort of activity. So that's where we use those shorter hill sprints, anywhere from 5 to 10 seconds with full 1-minute to 2-minute recovery. Basically, this is a substitute for strides. These can be very effective in getting a greater amount of muscle usage over time and building those neural connections that training naturally provides. And, you know, some of the other things that we can do is, you know, the hill repeats. We've spoken a little bit on some of the 30-second repeats, but as we get more seasoned and are looking to help increase our power and our strength endurance, we can start to increase the duration or the length of those hills. So for some of my athletes, I'll have them do 2 or 3-minute hills, or sometimes, you know, 400 to 600 meter hills. And again, not everybody has access to this.
Right.
But as we, you know, if we do have access, we can definitely use these longer hills to help promote a greater response or adaptation to running hills and really help you add some training that, again, doesn't have a lot of stress. It's going to help add to your strength. It's going to help add to your endurance. And it's just going to make you a stronger runner. So yeah, so we can use these hills for strength gains. We can use them for neuromuscular efforts. And there's a lot of different ways in which we can do it.
Now, talk if they're doing 5 to 10 second bursts of speed up a hill,
yes.
How many repeats would you do? I know this is related to some extent on someone's ability, but in general, what would your, you know, what would a suggested workout be and how much recovery time in between?
Yes, yes. So these workouts would be done after an easy run. So these workouts, again, help with neuromuscular activity, but they also help increase your muscle tension. So if you've ever gone into a run, let's say a day after a hard workout and you feel really tired and you feel really sluggish, a lot of times that's because your muscle tension is really low. So ways in which we can increase muscle tension is to do things like strides, do things like hill sprints. These are all great things to add to your easy running days, or maybe between your warm-up and your workout or right before a race that really helps close the gap and get you firing and feeling that pop in your stride. Now, for these hill sprints, we would add them typically after an easy run. So I would finish my easy run, maybe take a minute or two, get some water, that sort of thing. And then we would do, I like to start people off with 6 seconds. That's it. Find a really, like a relatively steep hill, which you can run as hard as you want up it. And you do 4 repeats, 6 seconds total. That's it. And you run as hard as you can up it for 6 seconds. And then you would take a full 1 to 2 minute recovery because you really want to make sure that those energy systems are restoring themselves and that, again, you can repeat the effort at a high level once again. Now, we would definitely increase this over time. So as we build up, we would increase the repetitions. So maybe 5, 6, 7, 8. And then we would also increase the volume or the duration. So we would go up to about 10 seconds total for these shorter hill sprints. And again, these aren't really dedicated hill workouts,
yeah,
but more of a way to help you get a bigger bang for your buck when it comes to getting more access. I mean, getting more access to your musculature. We
I
only
like
access
that.
A fraction of it. So if we can teach the body to get more of our muscles and muscle fibers and involved,
mm-hmm,
we can do so.
I like that. It doesn't sound like fun exactly, but it sounds like it would be a really good workout and one that almost everybody could do.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Now the 3 minutes on a hill, yeah, how does that work for a beginner as well as moving into something that would be more advanced?
Right. So I think it all comes down to how hard you do it. So for a beginner, we might just do some easier running up those hills. You know, for a beginner, you know, running 3 minutes up a hill is enough of a workout.
Hard.
That's a challenging day. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And as we get more advanced, we can start adding some more pace work up it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that
mm-hmm,
we're not trying to hit pace, but we're trying to hit an effort. We're trying to get a hard effort. For the longer hill repeats, mm-hmm, so 3 minutes or longer, you know, we want these to be around your half marathon effort and pace. You know, we don't want it to be too fast, but we don't want it to be an easy jog either. We really want to find that nice groove to where you're working hard, but you're also staying relatively smooth and strong, and you can repeat those hills. Now, for something like 3 minutes or more, you know, we would want to make sure that we don't do too much. So maybe we do 4 to 6 reps of it, you know, and maybe we increase it or decrease it based on where we're at in the training cycle. And then again, that recovery is a really good recovery. You know, a 3 minute, you know, probably more like 5 minutes, you know, jogging down that 3 minute hill. So it really allows you to recover, get some downhill running in too, while you're already pre-fatigued from running uphill. So again, there's a focus there as well. And then repeating that.
Yeah, that sounds like it could have a lot of benefit and could really be controlled to the level of ability of the runner who's doing it.
Absolutely. And I think that's what makes hills so interesting is that, you know, it's, you can basically prescribe the same workout to every single person in a sense. And that workout would mean or turn out to be something entirely different based on the level at which you're at. So there's a lot of different ways we can do it to get the, you know, intended benefit.
Yeah, I love this. And I also love that basic beginner, novice runners, as well as very experienced runners can use these techniques to improve. That's
absolutely
terrific. Now, how do you use hills in your own training, Dylan?
Right. So fortunately for myself, I live in an area where there's mountains surrounding me in just about every direction. I live at 7,000 feet altitude, so that definitely comes into play as well. But most of our running here goes up forest roads. And so these forest roads or fire service roads are essentially just really big dirt roads that go up the mountain so that if there was ever a fire, people could come and drive up it and take care and put out the fire. Mm-hmm. So for my runs, especially my long runs, almost every single one of my long runs is an out and back on one of these fire service roads. Mm. So I might be gaining 100 feet per mile. And if I'm running 20 miles, I gained 1,000 feet. So it's a very constant uphill for an entire run, which you know allows you to still run fast enough because the gradient there is not too too demanding. But again, it keeps you in a better position. It's soft surface, and it goes for a long amount of time. So a lot of times I use hills almost every single day because almost every run I do either goes up a mountain or down a mountain. There's not a lot of flat running here. Now these aren't huge hills, right? So mostly anybody could run them.
Uh-huh.
You know, but I'm always working up or down a hill at some point, which definitely helps add some strength and, you know, definitely makes things more interesting than flatter running. Now, for maybe some harder days, you know, we definitely include these as well. I've had hill workouts that range anywhere from, you know, again, that 30 second or, you know, even shorter. I do these hill sprints. I try to do them at least once a week. And, you know, or I have some hill days where I might do 30 seconds. And I've even had runs where I'm doing 8 miles at a tempo pace up a hill. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of variation for myself in training, and my coach and I tend to work together and trying to find out, you know, what's going to elicit the best response and get me as strong as possible for the races that I'm doing.
Right, right. And periodization is a big word, I know, but is your next goal race the Berlin Marathon?
Yes. So that's the bigger picture goal race for this training cycle.
Mm-hmm.
Long-term, kind of, I'm working backwards from the Olympic Trials Marathon, which is going to be, I believe it's the last day of February of 2020.
And that's 2020. Gonna,
yep. And that's going to be at Atlanta, Georgia.
Uh-huh.
And then working from there, I think I'm going to try to go back out to California National Marathon again. I think that was a great race.
I've run that several times and it's such a fun course.
Oh, it's great. I mean, it's beautiful in Sacramento that time of year. It's just absolutely perfect. I couldn't ask for a better race that has put on. And, you know, it's not a huge race. Sacramento is a very welcoming town. You know, the traffic's not too bad there, so it's easy to get around. So working backwards from there, I'm doing CIM, Berlin, and then I've got a few like half marathons on the schedule coming up. Next one I'm doing is Rock and Roll San Diego, and that's going to be on June 2nd. So I got a few different races on the calendar and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Now let's move on to trail running because you are sort of running on trails, fire trails, but, actual trail running where a lot of it is single track and that kind of thing is certainly going to involve hills, but it also includes much more walking than our road races. So what can you tell us about effective hill trail running?
Right. So especially for those of us who are running the longer distance races, so the ultra distance events on trails, running uphill is inherent because a lot of these races are in the mountains and some of them go up to 12, 13,000 feet. And that's incredible. Yeah. And for myself, we do have quite a bit of trails here and a big trail running community. And I've done a lot of the bigger runs here, and I definitely know what it's like to be running up those mountains and how to train for them. So when we're looking at trail running as hills in relation to trail running, for trail runners more specifically, you know, we have to really focus on those longer hill reps. So sometimes we'll have athletes who are training for these long trails. They're doing, you know, 10 or 20 minutes, you know, hard runs uphill, and then maybe taking a walking break or easy running back down. And they're repeating that over and over. And again, these are, when we say hard, you know, this is not a fast pace because these trail runs are very steep and they're very hard to do.
Yeah.
And so when we're designing training for trail running, It's more about getting in the elevation change itself, because, you know, over 50 miles, you might have 5, 6, you know, sometimes 10,000 feet of change in elevation over that course. Mm-hmm. So we have to be able to train that. Mm-hmm. Now, for ultra runners, I don't know very many ultra runners who actually run an entire race.
Right.
Especially if it's upwards of 100 miles. you know, there's a better way of managing your energy if you include what they call basically a power hike. Okay. So you've seen many runners maybe do this before, where they're running up a hill and they basically got the hands on knees, just, you know, cranking out those steps, getting up to wherever they are on that mountain. And that's a lot of times that's a better way to save energy. Because if you try to run versus do that power hike, a lot of times you'll end up power hiking much faster than you're running at that point. So, you know, if we're running these long trail runs with some hills, don't be afraid to do some hiking during it, because that is a part of the sport. That is,
right.
You know, running ultra distances or running trail running is all about a management of your energy, whether that's taking in nutrition or hydration or pacing yourself or knowing when to run and when to power hike.
Yeah. And coming downhill in trail running, what can you tell us about that?
Yeah. So downhill is even harder. You know, you know, I'm very much an uphill runner. My strength comes from running uphill. Downhill, I feel terrible. I am a very, very inefficient, and, you know, I put a lot of stress in areas in which I would not like it. So I had to be very careful running downhill. So, and especially those running trails downhill, you know, safety is a big concern.
Definitely.
Especially if you're running on rooty or hilly or rocky trails.
Yeah.
You know, one miscalculation and, you know, you end up with a lot of bruises and some scarring.
If you're lucky, you could end up falling off some big precipice or something if you're unlucky.
Yeah. And a lot of us have, you know, most of us who have been running for many years, we've all fallen before. I mean, this happens. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as you get more tired, you tend to drag your feet. You don't have as much, your stride length kind of tends to shorten. And, you know, when you get that way, it's really easy to kind of knock your toes or trip over something and fall. So running downhill, we got to be very aware of, you know, our surroundings and making sure that, you know, we're running with good form. And again, running downhill on a trail, especially a long winding trail, one of the good ways of kind of minimizing some impact and being able to actually run the trail well is to kind of run it in almost like an S formation. So you kind of run from one side to the other, to the other.
Oh, right, right. And, I've seen that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And that actually allows you to have a bit of an efficient stride, to be able to keep a good pace. And that way you're not bombing straight down the hill too. It's kind of like skiing, right? You know,
right.
If you're not a really avid skier and you're not just bombing straight down the hill, then, you know, you're carving out S's and you're carving the mountain. It's kind of like that with trail running as well.
Yeah. Oh, that's a really good point. So actually walking or kind of power running down a hill would also be okay, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, especially if you're later in the races and, you know, maybe your quads just need a little bit of a break. Mm-hmm. For some of us, it's easier to run downhill and, you know, naturally that's, you know, you can kind of use that to your advantage. But again, there's nothing wrong, especially in these races and utilizing some sort of run walk. Again, I'm very familiar with some of the best ultra distance runners there is right now. And every single one of them include some sort of power hiking in these big, longer events. So, you know,
that's part of the strategy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's no shame in walking. There's no shame in it, especially if that means that, hey, that's going to get you to the finish line and, you know, ultimately get you there in one piece.
One of the things I love about trail running is that each trail is very different. And so a specific time on it is not going to be the same as another same distance trail run.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. You know, it's very hard to tell someone how fast or what kind of time they should run on a course, because every course is very different. It has a lot of different strategies. And a lot of times our GPS watches simply just don't work in the trails.
Right, right. That's a really good point. I hadn't even thought of that part of it. But of course, if you're out in the woods and bouncing around between canyons and everything, then of course you're not going to have good GPS.
Of course.
Now, we are getting close to the end of this talk, Dylan. Boy, you've got a lot to tell us. Could you sort of encapsulate maybe three or four key points to take away from our coaching session about hill workouts?
Absolutely. So my suggestions would be, you know, do your best not to avoid hills. Include them as much as you can in a relative sense. Of course, take your easy recovery days easy and keep them flat if you need it. But, you know, start adding them into your easy runs and adding them into your long runs first. This is one of the easiest things you can do as a runner and, you know, is going to help add to your strength, endurance, you know, all the above. And also don't overemphasize hills. If your race has a lot of hills in it, sure, we want to train the hills and we want to be strong over those hills, but hills are just one component of the entire puzzle, right? So it's just one piece of the puzzle. And so we can't make that a priority over everything else. We have to be able to, you know, dose everything out in a way in which is going to help support the entire system, not just one specific aspect. And lastly, you know, find a healthy variety of sessions, whether it's hills or the training that you're doing to support your growth. We talked a little bit about, you know, movement variability and how this can help you be a better runner. And these are the reasons why to get better, we have to do things like speed work or add hills or do strength training or focus on stretching and hydration, nutrition. There's so many different things. So, you know, to kind of, you know, encapsulize it all, just really try to create a healthy variation of activities and sessions that you can do that's going to support your development as a runner.
And keep it fun.
Absolutely.
At least interesting, even if it doesn't always feel fun.
Yes, yes. That's, you know, that is very important. You know, keeping things fun, you know, that's one reason why we do it, right? We have to be able to enjoy what we're doing. So keeping it fun is very important.
Bear Mattress is designed for your active running lifestyle. Bear mattresses are built for optimal cooling, comfort, and muscle recovery to help you fall asleep faster, stay asleep longer, and wake up feeling refreshed. Go to bearmattress.com/RTTT. That's bearmattress.com/RTTT and get 20% off site-wide for their Memorial Day sale. Bear Mattress leverages insights from sleep experts, professional athletes, and engineers to create a super comfortable and supportive sleep surface. Bear Mattress uses FDA-determined Cellient technology, clinically proven to provide a more restful sleep, restore tired muscles, and improve your overall well-being. Buying a mattress in a store can cost thousands of dollars, but the Bear Mattress starts at just $440. Plus, it is made in the USA, sold online, and ships free right to your doorstep, making it easy and convenient for you. Buying a Bear Mattress online is completely risk-free with a 100-night in-home trial. You get 100 nights to try out the mattress, and if you don't absolutely love it, they'll pick it up and refund you 100% of your money. That's right, 100 nights, absolutely risk-free, with no hidden charges or fees. Bear has over 5,000 five-star reviews from verified buyers and was named the best mattress for athletes by Sports Illustrated. Go to bearmattress.com/RTTT. That's B-E-A-R, mattress.com/RTTT, and get 20% off site-wide on their Memorial Day sale. You put a lot of time, effort, and passion into your training, and you deserve to maximize each and every mile you run. In this series of masterclasses, we're going to discuss the specific physiological demands of your goal race distance. We have classes for every distance, from 5K to the marathon.
Each masterclass is also going to show you a specific progression of workouts designed to target these physiological demands so you can be optimally prepared on race day. At the end of the 45-minute discussion, we're going to have a 30 to 40-minute question and answer session where we'll answer your training questions. To sign up for one of these free sessions, just head to runnersconnect.net/go.
And we are back with Run to the Top podcast and Runners Connect coach Dylan Bellis talking about the ups and downs of hill running. Okay, so let's start with a favorite local run in your neighborhood in Flagstaff.
Absolutely. So if you ever make your way out to Flagstaff, Arizona, especially in the early fall, I would highly recommend you go to a place called Lockett Meadow. It is an absolute beautiful meadow underlooking the mountains. And there's a nice trail. It's called the Inner Basin Trail. It's about a mile and a half, 2 miles trail. And it goes up through these beautiful aspen trees. And you'll come out on something called Waterline Road. Now, Waterline Road is my favorite trail in Flagstaff, Arizona. It's, again, it's lined with these aspen trees. And if you make your way out here in October, it's nice and cool up there. It sits at about 9,000 feet of altitude. So definitely a tough run. But if you ever get out there, it would be great for a nice hike or run because you've got these golden leaves on these aspen trees lining both sides of the road, and you've got this beautiful view of the entire town. I would highly recommend it.
Ooh, sounds like a good one. So how about a recommended book, research, or video on some aspect of running?
Right. We talked about some hills today and a lot about strength. And I think someone who talks really well on building strength as a runner is Jason Fitzgerald. And I believe that we've had him on the podcast before. Jason has written for Runner's World, and he also runs a website. It's called Strength Running, strengthrunning.com. I would highly recommend you check out his website and look at the resources that he has for providing more insight for us runners. And again, you know, don't forget that our Runners Connect website has a huge resource and catalog on everything running. So if you ever have any questions or you really want to learn more about the subjects that we talked today or common research or recommendations, check out our website. We've got so much information to offer, and I just don't think that many of us has really even scratched the surface. I would definitely check it out.
Yeah, thank you. So that actually does lead us into our fourth question, because you kind of combined two and three here with Jason as the potential resource. Give us contact information for you directly, Coach Dylan, and how our listeners can stay in touch with you.
Absolutely.
At least repeat once again what you've already given us, and then any additional that you'd like to share.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you ever want to reach out to me or contact me, I'm pretty much open if you want to send me an email and say, hey. My email is very simple. It's just dylan@runnersconnect.net. I would love to hear your thoughts. Some, you know, even better way of getting a hold of me, if you're interested in other social media sites, I do have a Facebook page. It's just Dylan Bellis. I'd love to, if you add me as a friend and have any questions there, I'd love to talk with you. And I also have an Instagram page as well, where I post all my updates on pictures and races and kind of that sort of thing. And that the name there is just @runlikedylan. And that's just on the Instagram page itself. So, you know, if you're looking to get a hold of me, email, Facebook, Instagram, these are all ways in which you can get in touch with me. And I would love to hear any feedback that you have on this podcast or anything that you would, you know, just like some general guidance or advice on. I'm always kind of open to talking to new people and meeting new people and kind of hearing your story and maybe helping you out.
Yeah, well, wishing you much satisfaction and success with your running life, Dylan. Thank you so much for everything that you've contributed to our talk today.
Thank you so much for having me on. It's been a pleasure.
And you've been listening to Coach Dylan Bellis. And by the way, his last name is spelled B-E-L-L-E-S. And first name, Dylan, D-Y-L-A-N. I think that's pretty standard, but the last name is a little hard to figure out from just hearing it. He is a Runners Connect coach, Brooks Elite Runner, and talking to us about all aspects of hills. I'm guessing we've all picked up a few or maybe more useful points to take away from this episode. So thank you, Dylan, and thank thank you, our audience, for joining us for today's podcast at Run to the Top. You can follow us at the Runners Connect Winners Circle on Facebook by going to runnersconnect.net/FB. And please subscribe to Run to the Top podcast at runnersconnect.net or on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, etc. You'll be notified every week when a new episode is published. And thank you, each of you, for listening. We'll be back next week with another super interview. Matt Phillips returns after several years away to share updated information on gait analysis. We'll ask him to share his thoughts on gait for running hills, plus much more. This is Stephanie K. Atwood, your host with Run to the Top, wishing you a great week.
Thanks for listening to the Run to the Top podcast from runnersconnect.net.